This is Pastor Buddy. We're joining you just a couple of minutes early here around the world on the Transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB 3.185. Glad to have you aboard. We're also tonight, ladies and gentlemen, simulcasting around the world on the live stream network of WWRB. And we're so grateful to be here with you tonight. We got a great program, and Brother Arnold's joining me again tonight from Conyers, Georgia. This is going to be our last week with Brother Arnold joining us live, but we're going to try to get the debate. Brother Arnold, are you there?
I'm here.
All right. Let me bring me up to date on what you and Brother Jerry has scheduled for your debate.
Okay. That ain't it Wednesday night that y'all come on?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, he comes on Wednesday 30 minutes before you, and then you got an hour.
That's correct.
All right, well, we ain't going to do it this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, we're planning on doing
it. You're planning on doing it the following
starting
Wednesday?
Starting his time and then going through your time.
Okay, well, that's sort of going to mess my schedule up because we're starting a new series Monday night, but we will try to make...
We can probably put it on further down the road.
Well, no. Can you move it up to this Wednesday night is my question. And we can go ahead and announce it here. Or would you need to check with Jerry before you do that?
Well, I can talk to him, but we can't announce nothing definite, so I guess it would be tentative. But.
Well, now, you got a program tomorrow night. You can announce it on your program, correct?
Right.
Okay. Well, let's do it. Are you going to do it live tomorrow night?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's you talk with Jerry, and if it's all right to get started Wednesday night, that way I can donate my time Wednesday night because we're going to start another series on the following Monday night. That'll be Monday week, and then you can also, like you say, on Friday night, we're on Friday night at 9:30. And we go to 10:30, and then you're on for 30 minutes. So that would give you all 3 hours, an hour and a half on Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night, and then an hour and a half on Friday night to get your debate on. And the subject, Brother Arnold, you might want to tell the people what it's going to be about.
We're going to be debating on the Lunar Sabbath versus Sergius Sabbath.
Okay.
And that way we'll record it. Brother Buddy cut recorded. Then when somebody asked us, so well, now here's both views on it.
Right.
And that way people can hear a lot of questions. And by the way, I might want to make mention, anybody out there that's got some questions that they think Lunar Sabbath Sabbatarians need an answer, or vice versa, that the Saturday people need an answer, if y'all will get the questions to us, we'll deal with them on the program.
Right. In other words, you will deal with the questions that the people that will call you and let you know. Well, let's give your number out up front, Brother Arnold, so that, of course, most of the people here on my program know my number, but maybe a few people don't know your number, that they could call you and refer a question in to you and Brother Jerry and let you all cover that question.
Right. Well, my number, area code, is 770-483-8255. 7708542. That's 770-483-8542. And you know, if you got any objections to lunar Sabbaths and you want to express them, and I'll try to get to them into the debate. I'll bring it in there. Like some people said, well, what about the manna there, Brother Buddy? You know, they said they gave them bread for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't say 3 days for a new moon and all that. Just says, but they don't really realize that the Hebrew don't say bread of 2 days. Just says the bread of days.
That's correct.
And, of course, it don't say what they was to do the 50th year of Jubilee. Now, after 7 years, they planted on the 6th year. They got enough for harvest for the 6th year to last in the 7th year.
Correct.
And then, which is, you know, is a year of no planting.
Correct.
A sabbatical year. And all the way to the 8th year, year for 3 years. But when you got to the year of Jubilees, they don't say what you do because you have another year there, sort of like the new moon.
Correct.
So, Yahweh can give you the food of 3 days, good as he can give you food of 3 days.
Well, of course he can. Of course.
And I'd like to make mention, too, how that the year of Jubilees is acts sort of like the new moon. Now, think about this. You've got 7 Sabbaths of years. Seven's 49 years. But on that 49th year, it's a land rest, right?
Correct.
It said, let the land rest the 50th year also. Now, here's my point. You do not start counting back. When you count in the years, you count that 50th year, what I'm trying to say, breaks up the cycle of seven. You got 7 years you keep on the 7th year. You got 7 times you do that. But them cycles are broken up by the 50th year of Jubilees.
Okay.
All right, now, here's how that works. On the 49th year, you let the land rest then, but you also let it rest back-to-back land rest on the 50th year. Now, what that does is you start counting the 6 years. You sow the land for 6 years and let it rest the 7th, right?
Right.
Well, when you have 2 back-to-back land rest, the 49th and 50th year, guess what?
What?
You start your count. You don't count that 50th year as a year of sowing the land. You count it as land of a year of not sowing and reaping.
Gotcha.
So the first year of sowing and reaping will be on the 51st year. In other words, the 50th year ain't counted. Same way with the new moon worship day. It's not counted in the 6 working days, just like the 50th year of Jubilee is not counted in the year of sowing, because see, it's a year of no sowing and reaping.
Correct.
So you can't count it as a year of sowing and reaping and a year of no sowing and reaping, same way with the new moon worship day. You can't count it as a new moon worship day, an ordinary work day, or one of the 6 work days, like in Ezekiel 46:1 teaches. So I'm saying all that to this, the year of Jubilee is a type of how the new moon works in there.
Gotcha.
Did that make sense? Maybe I should have wrote all that down.
Well, it makes a whole lot. It makes a whole lot of sense to me, Brother Arnold. By explaining,
it breaks up the cycles. What I'm saying.
Yeah, because you know, there's not much teaching on the Jubilee. Have you ever noticed how little information there is about the Jubilee year? And yet, it's one of the most important things that Yahweh stressed, like. The 7 count, 7 times 7 is 49. So that 49th is the year. You don't count that 50th year.
What you do, you start off, you got 6 years of sowing and reaping.
Okay.
You let the land rest the 7th year. Then you sow again for 6 years and let it rest the 7th year. You do that for 7 years in a row. And it's in cycles. But the year of Jubilee breaks up them cycles,
mm-hmm.
because it has back-to-back land rest. On
gotcha.
The 49th year, you let it rest. And on the 50th year, you let it rest. And then you begin counting your 6 sowing years again as you sow and reap the land.
Right.
same way with the new moon worship day. You got your Sabbath day, the 6 work days. You rest the Sabbath. You do that 4 times each month. On your last 6 work days and rest the Sabbath, you also leave the gates open for worship on the new moon also, which breaks up the cycle. And your first work day, or first of the 6 work days, begins after your new moon. This is what causes the Sabbath to fall on the 8th day of the month.
Correct.
7th day of the week, but the 8th day of the month. Now, your Jubilee years, when you get there, you don't count the 50th year as a day of sowing and reaping. Some people even try to do that.
Gotcha.
But you know, you wouldn't, the next year, 50 years, the first year would only have 5 years of sowing and reaping if you counted the year of Jubilees as one of the 6 years of sowing and reaping, so
that,
you don't count it. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, that's very easy to understand, Brother Arnold.
Same way with the new moon, Brother Buddy. The merchants that buy and sell for a living,
mm-hmm.
once a month, we know that the new moon, they said, when will it be gone that we can buy corn in the Sabbath and we set forth wheat? It was the worship day, and it was not one of the 6 ordinary work days that you could buy and sell. Well, the merchants that made a living buying and selling once a month, the scripture clearly says you got 6 days to labor and do all your work, but once a month they would only have 5 days to labor and do all the work, which would be contradictory to the scripture with the traditional Saturday Sabbath.
Right. Oh, that's an excellent point, Brother Arnold. Could you bring that back again? Because, man, I just caught the tail end of that. But
the scripture clearly teaches you got 6 days to labor and do all your work.
Okay.
Well, if you count the new moon, when they said it was a worship day of no buying and selling, according to Amos, once a month the merchants that made a living buying and selling, they wouldn't have 6 days to do that labor and buy and sell and do all their work, because once a month they would only have 5 days to labor, because the new moon is a day of no buying and selling, according
gotcha.
To Amos, and then other scriptures there, like the Shemite woman that son had died.
Right.
Said, why go today is neither new moon or Sabbath.
Right.
So ancient Israel kept the new moon worship days. It was a day of no buying and selling, according to Amos. And then when you put that in there, once a month, they couldn't buy or sell nobody nothing, these merchants, right?
Right.
Well, they would only have 5 days to labor and do all their work. So the 6.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. So, Brother Arnold, if the rotation cycle, like you say, there has to be 6 continuous work days to keep a Sabbath, correct?
Right.
And the moon is the regulator, if you will, is the coordinator of the month. Now, let's go back into the month for just a minute, and a lot of people go back and they want to go back to the box, which like in Genesis, that there were 7 days of creation, and therefore there had to be an appropriate calendar made up to match the 7 days. And thus we have, now we wondered, we've asked this question before, but I want to bring it up again because it's worthy of noting, that if there was no calendar before the Gregorian calendar that gives us Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Now, Saturday being the Sabbath day. They designed it that way, Brother Arnold, in the calendar, but there's a number of procedures that they have to go through to get that solar calendar to work out. Could you elaborate on that and some of the misappropriations of understanding that people have that calendar cannot be right?
If I'm following you, what you're saying, a lot of calendars they make up and they can work and carry on a civilization with them,
right?
If they're all on it, like a one world government or whatever,
right?
But it don't mean it's a scriptural calendar. It's what it is. It's an artificial count. It's an artificial measurement. Think about this. The reason they can't go into scripture and find a weekly 7th day, the way they're doing the solar week with a solar 7th day, It's just a carnal count of 1 through 7.
Correct.
The reason it can't go in the Scripture, and we've offered a $10,000 reward, and still do, to anybody that can pinpoint a weekly Sabbath that was on any other day of the month instead of besides the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th. And the reason for this is because the new moon worship day is the first day of the month. The second day of the month is the first day of the week. Then when you rest the seventh day of the week, it'll be the eighth day of the month. Now, if I don't lose thought of what your question
was. You're right on track with what I asked you, yes.
Right. But the calendar that they use today don't have lunar weeks. They just disregard the new moon when they count their months, and they just count 30, 31 days. And the reason they can't go in there and find a seventh day Sabbath that floats, you know, having nothing to do with the moon is because they cannot go in there and find when to begin the count for their seventh day.
Gotcha.
In other words, they got to have something to regulate where they can start counting the six working days. If you can't find the six working days, now we can do it because of the Scripture, but if they can't find their six working days, they can't find their seventh day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we've asked them all over the world, give us one Scripture to support your weekly Sabbath where it wasn't on one of these 4 days each month, the 8th, 15th, 20th. And every Sabbath, even when it was made known to Moses, always on one of those days, Brother Buddy.
Amen, brother.
And so the reason it's always on them days is because you leave the gates open, your last Sabbath each month, you leave the gates open on the new moon also.
Right.
And it said that it teaches there in Ezekiel 46 and 1, the gates will be shut the six working days, open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon. In other words, Sabbath is not one of the six working days, and neither is the new moon one of the six working days.
Correct.
People say, well, they worked on the new moon. It don't matter. It was a worship day. It don't matter if they traveled on the new moon. Don't matter what they done. It's still, it's a different category of a day. So when you leave the gate open on the Sabbath and the day of the new moon, like it teaches, your first work day is going to be on the second day of the month.
Correct.
That's the first work day of the week. Then you work for 6 days and you rest the seventh day. But it'll be the eighth day of the month. Then you work 6 more working days and rest the seventh day. The seventh day will be on the 15th day of the month.
Correct.
This is an absolute. This is why when they counted for Pentecost over there, after the morning after the Sabbath, people say, well, that's the high day Sabbath, talking about the 15th.
Right.
Well, we believe that Sabbath day was a high day because it's also the first day of unleavened bread. But it don't say it's a high day Sabbath. It says, in the New Testament there, it says that seventh day, or Sabbath day, was a high day. Why? Because it's the first day of unleavened bread. Actually, that high day is the same word as great day over there where it says the last great day of the feast.
Correct.
All right, my point is this. Them first 2 weeks, the first, let's say the 15th, they always begin their count on the morning after that. You can verify this in the Septuagint. It says on the second day of unleavened bread, and that would be your 16th. Because the first day of unleavened bread is 15th. Well, if the second day of unleavened bread, they begin to count their weeks to Pentecost. Remember, there's 7 complete weeks, 7 Sabbaths complete, right?
Right.
Well, that first week always begins, the first day of that first week is on the 16th. So that makes it lunar weeks. The seventh day of that first week to Pentecost will be on the 22nd. That's the seventh day. That's your first Sabbath. Their lunar Sabbath. And then your next Sabbath will be on the 29th. And if you leave the gates open, like he said, on the new moon also, and don't count it as one of the 6 working days, and then count your 6 working days on the second day of that month, right? If your new moon worship day is called, your next Sabbath will be on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th. Now, go back to the first month.
Okay.
We've proven that the first week to Pentecost begins on the 16th, because that's 16th is always the first day of the week.
Correct.
Back over the crucifixion. You know, he's crucified on the 14th. He was in there the 15th. He rose the third day according to the scriptures. Scripture teaches the Passover is killed on the 14th. Then the 15th is the first day of unleavened bread. And then the 16th, the night of the Sabbath, the priest would lift up these wave sheaves to be accepted of the Father. He was the first fruits. Well, he says he was the first fruits of them that sleep over in Corinthians. Well, he rose on the 16th, and that's when the wave sheaves. Now, counting backwards from the 15th in the first month, the 8th would have been a Sabbath. If the 22nd, 29th was a lunar Sabbath, that means counting back from the 15th,
mm-hmm.
the 8th day of that month would have been a lunar Sabbath. Now, guess what? If you count back 7 more days, you come to the 2nd day of the month, which is the first day of that week, which proves the new moon worship day was not counted when counting out the weeks. Same as when it was made known to Moses.
Mm-hmm.
The Sabbath was on the 15th. Counting backwards, the Sabbath before that would have been on the 8th. Counting on back, the 2nd day of the month would have been the 1st day of the week.
Gotcha.
And it proves that you don't count the moon when counting out the weeks. You can read Philo. He was a Levite priest that lived back there and recording it. He's not got no bones to pick or got no dog in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
He's just telling how it was. They
right.
kept lunar Sabbath. And the Messiah kept the same Sabbath as the Jews. There's no argument in the scripture and debate about the weekly Sabbath. They kept the same Sabbath. And Philo was chosen to lead a delegate to Rome over the persecution. All of this is recorded. He's an eyewitness. When you go in a court of law, there's nothing stronger than an eyewitness to prove your case. Well, when he was chosen to lead a delegate to Rome, he would not have been chosen for such a monumental task had he not kept the same Sabbath as the rest of the Jews and the Messiah and all Israel. All of them kept it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so
I do.
If he kept lunar Sabbath, so did the Messiah, and so did Josephus, because Josephus called Philo the elder. He spoke of it. And Josephus and Philo both spoke of the Essenes, and bragged about how they kept the Sabbath, and they really kept. Now, they couldn't have done it if the Essenes kept a different Sabbath than Josephus and Philo, and so they all kept lunar week. And this is fine. Look up week in any history book and see that the weeks are written by the
basis
of the moon. Even the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia acknowledges it. Look under week. It said that the weeks were originally by the basis of the moon. You say, well, why don't they keep it that way? It don't matter. There's people that knows his name Jehovah, but they don't use it. They don't see the importance. They understand the weeks were by the faces of the moon.
Most
he
certainly
do. He said, do as they say, don't do out of their words, for they say it not.
Amen.
The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seats. Whatever they say, do it. Don't
Amen.
Do what they do.
Excellent point, Brother Arnold. Let me give you an example here, and you commented. I think it's right hand in the glove right here. Example. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 8. Now, you refer to this on page 29 of our Sabbath booklet, and it gives you an example. At the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days. Now, we know that that feast started on the 15th. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And if they kept it 7 days, it would have ended on the 21st. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. In verse 9, and in the 8th day, now here it is, Arnold, here's where these solar Gregorian, they fudge a little here. They'll never bring this out. But notice this here. But on the 8th day, that's the 22nd, correct?
That's correct.
The Sabbath they made a solemn assembly. Now it's on the 22nd day. Right here it is, Arnold. It pinpoints the 22nd as being the holy Sabbath day, the 8th day, that he made a solemn assembly, and they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, as 8 through 14, and the feast days, 15 through 21, verse 10, and on the 23rd, on the 23rd, Brother Arnold, at the end of the 8th day, which would have been the 22nd, he dismissed the congregation. Now, what powerful testimony Yahweh giving witness to the 8th day here. Now notice this. And then I want you to comment and go back and help the people to understand this.
Let me insert this before you go there.
All right.
You know, the a lot of the Saturday Sabbatarians would say, he says he rested the seventh day, not the eighth day. Well, you just read there in the scriptures where they rested and have a Sabbath on the 22nd. I could say it says they should have kept the Sabbath on the seventh day and not the 22nd. Or they should have kept the Sabbath on the seventh day and not the 29th.
Amen.
What they don't understand is they can't get the solar week out of their mind, and they can't get the solar month out of their mind. They got to remember that the months and weeks were originally lunar. And this is how, and this is why you always find them. But go ahead and finish your thought.
That's an excellent point.
I got a good memory. It's just short.
All right.
If I don't say it, I'll forget it. But go ahead.
When you count from Sabbath to Sabbath, now, we're doing a count here. There are 8 days, like in Isaiah 66, verse 23. Now that's a reference source that gate would be open after every 6 day of work, beginning with the new moon. Now, that's what the Bible says there. And let me interject a scripture for you, Brother Arnold. It don't say week here. It says month, moed. In the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis, in chapter 8, verse 13, listen. And it came to pass in the 601st year. Now, we know that there is approximately in a solar count, there is 365 and a quarter days in that year. Now, it's indivisible. It can't be divided equally, and so there had to be some type of a system. And, Brother Arnold, what better system would it be than the one that Yahweh set up for the people? So when he gave us this system, all the new moons to regulate, and then after the new moon, they would work 6 days. It came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, not the first week, but in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. Now listen what happened here, Brother Arnold. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Brother Arnold, isn't that a revealing scripture that on the new moon he started time off right now with a new beginning, a new year. On the first day, he revealed, by opening the cover to the ark, he revealed the dry earth for those who would plant and for seasons and time. Don't you think that that's tied into Genesis 1:14?
Yes, all of it's tied in, your new moon, your Sabbath, and people need to understand that the new moon commemorates creation, and the weekly Sabbath commemorates his rest after working on his creation for 6 days. And then when he rested the seventh day after the 6 work days, it would be the 8th day of the month. Same as when the tabernacle, where Moses was commanded to rear it up on the first day of the month, and then Aaron and his sons were sanctified there or set apart for
set apart.
7 days, which would bring them to the 21st day of the month, and then they had a holy assembly on the 22nd,
Amen.
Which was weekly Sabbath.
Amen.
And they were not to go out of the door of the tabernacle. Well, see, the tabernacle in heaven is a type of the tabernacle that was there in the wilderness.
Amen.
It was reared up on the new moon day.
Awesome. Amen.
And then it was worked on for 6 days because he placed the light, the lever, you know. All of this stuff was placed in it, you know, and he finished everything. And then when he's sanctified, you know, his son's there. Not sanctified. I don't know what word I'm looking for. Dedicated him. You know?
Dedicated, sanctified, set apart.
What he done, he done there. They were not to leave there. And then on the Sabbath, or the seventh, really the eighth day of the month, they would, but all of that's just a type. Everything goes back to creation.
It does. In other words, if we go back to Genesis, where the moon was put into the time system, to set appointments, well, it just so happened that the Creator appointed the new moon for Noah to open the ark and to look out upon the dry earth. Brother Arnold, that is a revelation within itself. Now, let me give another example. I just gave you the one that we've got listed in on page 29 of our Sabbath booklet. Let me give another on the same page. And that's concerning the leper or the Nazarite. We know that it had to be on the eighth day, because if it's on the 21st day there, or any other time, they would actually be washing their clothes and cleansing on a Sabbath day. So they washed their clothes, and on the eighth day, Brother Arnold, they appeared in the presence of the priest from Sabbath to Sabbath. Now listen to this: always your Sabbath will be on the eighth from the last intermission day or Sabbath for worship. Sabbaths are recorded from Sabbath to Sabbath in the Bible. The gates were to be shut the six working days and open on Sabbath and the day of the new moon in Ezekiel 46:1, that you've already alluded to. And in Isaiah 66:23, it confirms this, that in the millennial kingdom, Brother Arnold, in the time that we worship in the new heavens and new earth. And then it says in the 24th verse that for those who will not keep that, that there's going to be a time of trouble for them, because he said they would be ashes under the dust or under the feet of those who would keep his new moons and his Sabbath. It's very clear.
Well, I tell people, Brother Buddy, the lunar Sabbath is one of the most provable doctrines in Scripture, one of the hardest to get people to take an honest look at because of their tradition. They, instead of just believing the Word where it says and teaches that the moon is for Moed, that's appointment,
right.
And then it says that the weekly Sabbath is a Moed, that's appointment. If the moon is for Moed and the weekly Sabbath is a Moed, Leviticus 23:2-3, he said, these are my Moeds, these are my feet. In Psalms 104:19 says he appointed the moon for Moeds. That's talking about worship Moeds. It ain't talking about just an everyday Moed or something, appointment, you know, that you might have.
Right.
It's talking about worship Moeds. Then people, instead of just believing that and trying to figure out how it'll happen by not counting the new moon as one of the six work days, just have it as a worship day. Like he said, they're going to come in, even in the new heaven, new earth, and worship on that day, the new moon and Sabbath. So your new moon and Sabbath is worship day, and then your first work day begins after the new moon, which will be the second day of the month. And that's what causes the Sabbath to be on the 8th, 15th, 22nd, and 29th of the month. It's not, the Sabbath's not just the 8th day, but the Sabbath is the 15th day, the Sabbath is the 22nd day, and the Sabbath is the 29th day. But that's of the moon. And so people don't, instead of trying to figure out and see how that the moon could be for the weekly Sabbath, remember it's for all the other worship days too, but they say, well, it ain't for this day. But the reason they don't know that is because they only know the solar week. They don't know about the lunar week. And they don't want to seem like, go back there and look and see. And so, you know, it's hard to get through to them.
Well, it is. And, you know, Brother Arnold, the intrusive, invasive procedures of Yahweh's ways that is crossing the Gregorian ways. In other words, Rome invented a timepiece, and you went back as far as 46 B.C. with Julius Caesar, when they began to develop this timepiece, and it took, as you say, it took the lunar phases out of their calendar. And what it's done, Brother Arnold, it has gotten people out of the course. And the Bible wants us to stay the course and finish the race here, but we can only do that if we strive lawfully. There is now, Brother Arnold, you keep mentioning that there is a reward for anyone that can find the Sabbath on any other day than 8, 15, 22, and 29. Now, if that's true, and that's Yahweh's time frame, and he specified those days, and we give example after example. Brother Arnold, I don't know where you realize it, but this is 13 hours that you and I have been together on this subject. And we've covered basically from stem to stern. We haven't left any stone unturned. If we have, we've gone back and we've been redundant in some of the things that we've said, but this is to put the tamper this with the mortar of understanding that your faith could be solidified and put in the wall. We don't want to dab the wall with untempered mortar of our understanding here. We want people to be 100% sure that once they change to the lunar, Brother Arnold, it's not an easy way, because you've got to buck the Babylonian system of confusion and their time process. Now, it's very easy for somebody to say, oh, I'm a Christian and I keep Sunday. Well, all the churches across the land are open either on Saturday or Sunday. And that's the time that your government Babylonian system shuts down to give you a chance to worship. Now, if you believe that Babylon is evil, and the Bible is always telling us it's the master of confusion, and the great whore that brought her in Revelation 17 would think to change times and laws, well then, if we bring the lunar option in for them to consider, then they got to decide whether they're going to keep the lunar Sabbath, and if they do, it's going to get them off sync. It's not synchronized with the weekends of Saturday or Sunday. But the Bible is full of example after example after example. And Brother Arnold, we have really gone over this quite well. And it's one of your favorite subjects. And you know, you and I have talked about it. We think it's the second most important doctrine in the Bible for people to know, because number one, the first commandment is to love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to keep His commandment. Now, notice, if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. The fourth commandment, then, is added to say we remember His Sabbath day. And now here we are with a reward of $10,000 for anyone to prove a Sabbath day any other day than 1 or 8, 15, 22, or a 29. Now, Brother Arnold, you've been offering this a long time, and so have I.
Well, I've had a lot of people, or several people, I say. Now, when I say I want a conclusive, something that can't be intelligibly argued against, you know, like the one in Exodus 16, there's no way to intelligibly argue that the 16th chapter of Exodus is teaches them that the Sabbath was first made known to Moses, because he said he spoke to him on the 15th, told him at evening they would eat quail, and the quail came at evening, in other words, Arab, when it got dark on
right.
The beginning of the 16th, and in the morning they got the first day of manna, which is also on the 16th. Well, there's no way to intelligently argue that this wasn't the weekly Sabbath, because they got manna on the 16th, 17th, 18th of the month, the 19th, 20th, 21st of the month. The 21st was the sixth day of gathering manna, because it said they gathered a certain rate daily. And then they said that, Yahweh said you won't find it. The next day he said it's the holy Shabbat, or Sabbath, which would make it the 22nd of the moon.
Right.
By using deductive reasoning and counting backwards, it's the 22nd, and you count backwards, that means the 15th. was a weekly Sabbath also.
All right.
Some people say, well, it can't be because they was eating quail and this and that. But they wasn't eating quail on that day. But even if they was, it's still a weekly Sabbath.
Right.
And so if you count on back from there, that means the eighth day of that month was a weekly Sabbath. And if you count on back from there, it means the second day of that moon was the first day of the week, just like it is every place else you find a pinpointed weekly Sabbath, which we pinpoint 72 weekly Sabbaths right there in the scripture and offer a $10,000 reward for somebody to pinpoint one that wasn't on one of these days. Now, that right there, if I was sitting out there in some of people's shoes and keeping Saturday Sabbath, that would make me want to look into it.
Amen,
now,
brother.
People's got a lot of objections. Like some people say, well, I'm going to show you that instead of showing me where there's a weekly Sabbath on any other day, here's what they try to do. They try to say, well, I'm going to show you the 15th wasn't a Sabbath here because they was traveling on it here, or they was eating quail on it here. That ain't what I'm asking for. I'm asking for a Sabbath that can't be argued again. Then we go to the sign of Jonah, the 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth.
Correct.
And I show them where that he was in the heart of the earth the 3 days and three nights, but he couldn't have been in the grave 3 days and three nights because he would have saw corruption.
Correct.
And the scripture said he wouldn't suffer his Holy One to see corruption. He wouldn't leave his soul in hell and use the word Sheol or hell. But over there where he said the heart of the earth, he wasn't using that word. We'd probably, the debate would probably go off into there too, you know,
okay.
Because some people try to put him in the grave for 3 days and three nights.
Okay.
But he wasn't in the grave 3 days and three nights. He was in the heart of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and he said that, and they repented at the sign of Jonah, and there's a greater than Jonah here, talking about here in the heart of the earth.
Correct.
Jerusalem, the heart of the world, the heart of the earth. He was preaching to them, and he preached to them 3 days and three nights.
Amen, brother.
But he wasn't in a grave because he would have saw corruption.
Yes.
He would have decayed. That word corruption is decay. He did not see corruption. The Apostle Paul said that he would rise the third day according to the scripture. Now, the only scripture that talks about the third day is this. The lamb is killed on the 14th between the evenings. It's eaten that night with unleavened bread on the 15th. And then on the 16th, the first fruits was lifted up to Yahweh to be accepted of the Father. Well, he, according to Corinthians, like I said a while ago, was the first fruits of them that sleep. He rose the third day, according to scriptures, which would be the 16th. This is the day that they always rehearse the first fruits of the barley, the wave offering. And this was him.
So
they
so
may not knew what they were rehearsing, but they'd done it for years and years and taught it to their children. And then when it happened, you know, they realized over there that he was the first fruit.
Amen.
Of
them. Amen.
So anyhow, it's just everything lines up if you get, but if you get off, error begets error, Brother Buddy.
Yes, it does.
Truth begets truth. You got to get on the right track.
Well, Brother Arnold, we got a question that's just been mailed to me, and it's something that one of the brothers has reminded us that when people order our calendar, our lunar calendar, they're confused because they're looking for a calendar that says 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29, and what we send them is a Gregorian calendar because we've tried it both ways, as you very well know, and the most logical way for us to get these people to see this is superimpose 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29 of the lunar count over the Roman pagan days that we've got for a monthly calendar. And otherwise, they get lost, Brother Arnold, because if we say, okay, it's 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29, which is a simple calendar to make because it's nature. But the Gregorian count, the people so used to the Gregorian count, that if you send them a 1, 8, 15, 22, and 29 calendar, then it don't help them any because they still don't know because they haven't done their homework and because they don't understand the phases, then they're confused even more. Could you elaborate on why that we do that?
Well, Brother Matthew handles our calendar. What he does is he's got it posted on a website and he sends it out. I'm not sure which one you're putting, but you have to use something that you can show them that, say, you know, here's what day the new moon is on, mm-hmm. and then, you know, you have to superimpose one over. That's just what the people in the Dead Sea Scrolls was doing. Because if you read in the Dead Sea Scrolls, now remember, they were in a transition period back then out of the lunar Sabbath onto a solar week. Because remember, Julius Caesar introduced this in 46 B.C.
Okay.
And then they were doing it for commercial reasons, just like we do today. We're in a transition period back to the true Sabbath, the lunar Sabbath.
Correct.
From the solar week back to the lunar. Well, they were in a transition period, so they were showing, they were transposing one calendar on another. And let me tell you how you can know. When you read what they were doing over there,
okay,
they said things like this. They said, now, here's the new moon's going to fall on the 25th. There's a scroll saying this. And I don't remember which scroll it is now, but I got all this. May have some in my book. I don't know.
You do.
Brother Matthew leaves some of it out. But they were saying things like this. These guys were saying, well, the new moon's going to fall here on the 25th. Now, it has to be two calendars there because the new moon is on the first day of the month, not on the 25th, right?
Right.
Okay, now listen to this. And then the reason they had to say that is because that the earth was created with itself. It was self-contained, including its own calendar. And that calendar would tell you the months, weeks, years, and everything. Because they don't use the weeks, you know, the moon for the weeks. We do, but they don't. Okay. And then they would say things like the Day of Atonement, which was the 10th, is going to fall here on the 19th. Stuff like that. The reason they had to say the new moon and Day of Atonement is going to fall here and there because they wasn't a part of that calendar, and we have to do the same thing today. Now here's the kicker. They would show where the weekly Sabbath would fall. Now, if the weekly Sabbath, see, it wasn't a part of that calendar either, or they wouldn't have had to show where it fell. They would have just said it was every seventh day, you know.
Right.
It wouldn't have to say it's going to fall here. It would be there every seventh day, 1, 2, 3, 7. But they would show where the Sabbath, new moons, Day of Atonement would fall on that solar-only calendar. So we do the same thing today. If somebody said, well, we want to know when their year out, when they're going to be the Sabbath, we take the Roman calendar and we show them just like them people that was in a transition from the lunar over to the solar, so they could do their commercial business, you know, like we do today.
Mm-hmm.
People want to know where they can plan their vacation, this, that, and other, and their work week, when the Sabbath will be. So we show them, well, the Sabbath's going to be here and the new moon's going to be here. The reason we have to show them when the Day of Atonement, new moon, Sabbath's going to be on what date on the Roman pagan calendar is because they're not a part of that calendar. So therefore, we have to show them where they're going to fall.
There you go. That's exactly
right. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but all of this takes meditation, studying, and searching, and checking, and I'm sure some people can catch some of what we're saying, but some of it you have to meditate on. We've given people a lot of stuff to chew at one time, but they can play this tape over and over if you're recording it.
We are recording it, and Brother Bob gets this message up within 24 hours of broadcast if we get a good copy on it. And it'll be up probably tomorrow. This message right here will be up tomorrow. And we've got, like I say, this is the 10th hour, and we've missed a couple that we didn't get recorded. But this is 10 hours, Brother Arnold. And then we'll have you and Brother Jerry coming in and debating this on the Wednesday night and Friday night, an hour and a half each night, starting Wednesday night. And that'll be 3 more hours, so we're going to have about, in other words, we're going to give people, and now nobody else has volunteered to debate us. Jerry uses the Gregorian calendar, and he subscribes to Saturday as being the seventh day. Now, there's other people that subscribe to the solar calendar, and nobody has offered to debate us on that, Brother Arnold, but maybe sometime in the future that someone that would like to come on and give us this solar calendar, which is not identical to the Gregorian, but it's close. But it is different. So there's different calendars out there. The only one that we can find, that's me and you and others that believe the lunar, is the Bible examples. And we've given Bible example after Bible example, telling people that the eighth day is one of the days that is not taken into account and can't be unless it follows the formula of Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 1, and Ezekiel chapter 66, verse 23. That's the formula, Brother Arnold, and we don't want to deviate from that, and we haven't. We have not failed. We have not shunned this message, and we're not running and hiding from anybody that wants to debate it, because we've flipped the page and we've been there and we've read that, and so we're not you know, perfect love, Brother Arnold, casts out fear. So we don't have any fear. We're not trying to intimidate nobody, and we're not trying to prove anybody wrong. We just want to prove what's right. If everybody would spend enough time proving what's right, they wouldn't have enough time to prove what's wrong, because if you get into what's right, you don't care what's wrong, because it's not going to affect you. Because the children of darkness, being wiser than the children of light, Brother Arnold, have turned this Babylonian system and the Gregorian, and I have to say this, Brother Arnold, in respect to the calendar that we hang up on our walls, it is one of the most confused timepieces in history.
Well, yeah, I was going to say this. It may come up in the debate. It may not. I may bring it up. May not. But I've even got scripture that, and I don't think we've mentioned this on the tape. Mayor Cass has mentioned, but I've got scripture that actually calls or refers to the 15th day in the first month, refers to it as the seventh day. Of course, Philo said it's the seventh day of 7 days. In one of his writings, in another place, he said that there's 2 seventh days during the feast. During the 7 day feast, you got 2 7 day feasts in the first and seventh month. And there's 2 seventh days. It's going to be a seventh day of the feast. That's an absolute. But there's going to be a seventh day, the fourth commandment seventh day in there somewhere too, right?
Okay, right.
Even with their calendar. But guess where Philo said it is? He said it's before the 6 work days. In other words, it's the 15th, and then you got your 6 working days, and then you have the seventh day of the feast. Mm-hmm. So you got the seventh day, refers to it, is the head of the feast, talking about the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Then, now remember, this is a Levite priest that lived there and knows how they bleed. You can't argue with eyewitnesses. But anyhow, that's conclusive where it calls in Exodus 13 and 6, I think it is, pretty sure it is, Exodus 13 and 6.
Right.
It says the cog, and that's talking about the 15th.
That's right.
Is on the seventh day. Now, most people think it's talking about the seventh day of the feast, but seventh day of feast has never been called a cog.
That's correct.
Now, the whole feast has been called a cog, but it says the cog, which it means a victim or dancing and everything, it's the chief celebration, is on the 15th. September says on the 15th. The Hebrew text says in the 15th. So there's a first day, and then when your son asks what meaneth this, in other words, all of this rejoicing and blowing the ram's horn and all, and on the day that you brought out of Egypt bondage, which is 15th, he's going to say, what is all this? You tell him this is when y'all were delivering us out of Egypt. So that's the cog. All right. There's another place where it refers to the 22nd. This is a hard one to catch, and I've had people, Lunar Sabbath can't catch it. But I've heard the scripture says it refers to the 22nd as the seventh day. Do you know how it does that?
How's that?
Okay. It says you got 7 days of unleavened bread, right?
Right.
Okay, you don't eat no leavened bread. It says from the 14th day at evening, which we believe begins the 15th.
That is correct.
Until the 21st day at evening, which, you know.
That's seven days.
Okay, that's 7 days. So when the 21st day at evening gets there, you can eat leavened bread, right?
Correct.
Because that's the beginning of the 22nd, right?
Correct.
And we call the 22nd the seventh day, right?
Correct.
Now listen, he didn't say, whosoever eateth in the leavened bread from the first day going to be cut off, right?
Correct. That's 21st.
Well, I believe that seventh day is talking about the 22nd. And the reason I believe that is this. Now, most our minds going to think, well, talking about the seventh day of the feast, but it can't be. And now, here's why it can't be. If I said, Buddy, me and you going to fast. Let's say we still was on Saturday like we used to be.
Okay.
We're going to fast 7 days, and we're going to begin our fast on Saturday. Let's say that's the 15th. And let's say we're not going to eat anything until the seventh day. Well, when I say seventh day, you're thinking the next Saturday, right?
Right.
Because the word until means up until a point, but not including the point. Let's say if I said, here's why it can't be the last day of the feast. If we going to eat, he said, whosoever eateth any leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day. If it's talking about the seventh day of the feast, then you could eat unleavened bread after 6 days.
That's correct.
Because, see, the seventh day of the feast, you got to eat unleavened until the seventh day arrives.
Excellent point.
Okay, well, he's talking about the 22nd seventh day because it can't be talking about until the seventh day of the feast arrives, because that would be eating unleavened bread for 6 days, not seven. All of these is probably little things that's hard for people to catch because our minds is so wrapped up in the thing, but see if you can bring it back to me. See if you caught it.
Yeah, well, I catch it very easy. But what you're saying is, Brother Arnold, if there's an allotted time to eat unleavened bread, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. That's from the 15th to the 22nd.
Really the 15th through the 21st.
Right, and then the 22nd day is the day that you come together with the Holy Assembly. Now, that day, you're not required to eat unleavened bread on that day. That is a Sabbath day.
It's the seventh day.
You celebrate.
That's right. So you got to eat unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day. Now, the seventh day gets there when the seventh day of the feast ends.
Correct.
Now, if you're talking about the seventh day of the feast, it would end at the end of the sixth day.
Exactly right.
You could eat again. You probably people have to meditate on that a while, but that's the way it is. And something else I was going to say, and I think I'm forgetting it. About the seventh day, the 22nd. I know what I was going to say. You know, when we mentioned the term, the seventh day was a household term back then.
Correct, it was.
All right, the seventh day is a household term today. But when people hear the seventh day, they think of Saturday. That, you know, the seventh day advantage, and we would have thought, so well, it's going to the seventh day, we got to keep the seventh day.
It's ingrained.
We Saturday.
Right.
And back then, when they thought of the seventh day, they thought about an unleavened bread. In other words, the 15th. To the seventh day, they thought of the 22nd. They didn't think of Saturday, and they didn't think of the last day.
There you go, brother.
So back then, when they thought of the seventh day, they knew it was one of them 8, 15, 22nd, 29th. That's only seventh day, because they only knew lunar weeks and lunar months.
Correct.
But for today, they got you solar months and solar weeks, and when they think of seventh day, they think Saturday enters their mind.
Correct.
And this is why it's hard for people to catch those things, what I was just saying. But when you go to my website, let me give that too. And look, I got an article on there, proof that the 15th is called the seventh day and proof that the 22nd is called the seventh day on my website. And it's lunarsabbath.info, lunarsabbath.info. And look on there where it said it and read it, and you'll see that it's conclusive, positively, the 15th is referred to as the seventh day. And there's no way around it, no intelligent way around it, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told this to Lunar Sabbath people keepers. They said, "No, brother, that's talking about the last day of the feast or something, you know." And I had to explain it to them several times. And they finally got it, you know.
Correct.
But I could see how it would be hard for a traditional Saturday keeper to get it, you know.
Okay, it's Lunar Sabbath Info
.info Lunar Sabbath .info
Lunar Sabbath. Dot info. Now that's the website you need to go to, And, Brother Arnold, give your number in case somebody would like to call you and refer to a question. Give that number again.
The error code is 770, phone number is 483-8542. That's 770-483-8542. Is our time gone again?
Yes, our time's gone, Brother Arnold, and I want to make an announcement. This is a special announcement, that we're going to be coming on this Saturday at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, we have a brother down in Mississippi that is going to sponsor. We got Dr. Gary that sponsored me for forever, and with our normal program in here, and Brother Paul up in Michigan. They're my two sponsors that sponsored this part of the WWRB. But we're going to add time to our WWRB family network here on the Shepherd's Call, and we're going to be starting this Saturday at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 3.185, and also we're going to be coming in on 5050. So we're going to have use of the two frequencies here, 3.185 and 5050. And anybody that has trouble getting 3.85 could down, say, like in Texas, 5050 comes in excellent down there, and it would add to, of course, if you're listening on the internet, don't matter no way. But we'll be coming on this Saturday. Now, I'm going to get another hour. This brother's going to sponsor me for 2 hours, and that's love to see the truth prevail. We'll be getting that other hour as soon as the staff at WWBR gets this together, and we're going to be adding another hour when it's, hopefully it'll be on prime time, and when Brother Dave makes that decision, we'll talk about it. So I'll be announcing that later on, that we will be on actually 5 nights a week on WWRB with the Shepherd's Call. So I'm very excited about that. And for you folks that's listened to this Sabbath series I've done with Brother Arnold, it's been a pleasure. Brother Arnold and I go back many years, and it's been a pleasure to invite him on our Shepherd's Call Network radio programs to bring this. We think he's an authority. We think he's the supreme authority. I don't know of anybody in the land, and I tell people this, that has studied into the mysteries of the Sabbath any more than my good friend, Brother Arnold. So if you've enjoyed this series and you'd like to have this 12-part series, including the debate that's coming up. Now, hopefully, we're going to get this debate started Wednesday night, Brother Arnold, and we'll be on at 9:30 on Wednesday night. I believe that's right. We'll be on 9:30, yeah, with Brother Jerry's half hour, and then Brother Buddy's half hour, or 1 hour. That's an hour and a half. And then Friday night, we'll pick it up at 9:30 on Friday night, and we'll go through my hour into your hour. You follow me on Friday. So that's 3 hours, Brother Arnold, that you and Brother Jerry can debate this subject. And we won't.
I don't have an hour.
You have 30 minutes, and that's an hour and a half.
Oh, okay.
Brother Jerry has 30 minutes, and that's an hour and a half. It'll be an hour and a half on Wednesday night, an hour and a half on Friday night. That's 3 hours that we're going to be debating this subject with Brother Jerry, and you representing the Lunar Sabbath, and Brother Jerry representing the Saturday as the Sabbath.
Right, and they need to hear both sides of the matter, and he'll be asking me questions, and I'll be asking him, and it should be, you know, exciting to hear. It's not how many questions you can ask, it's how many you can answer.
There you go, my friend. Well, folks, our time is up, and Brother Arnold, good to have you on here, brother, and I'll see you Wednesday night, Yahweh willing, and the creek don't rise. You'll be doing the broadcast live yourself, so we'll talk about that and how you can handle it. You'll be calling in, and you and Jerry will be hooked up at doing that. So if you'd like to call me, Pastor Buddy, tonight, area code 423-626-2172. And if you'd like to write me, of course, you can always write me here, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Many blessings to you, and we'll see you Wednesday night. Yahweh bless.